So this morning I'm going to be reading from the Epistle of John. There's a lot in there to gather from his writings. So I'm going to start in 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we may be sure that we know him, if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commandments, is a liar, and in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk just as he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. So loving one another is very important, because like when the lawyer came to Jesus in Matthew 22 and asked him what the greatest commandment is, he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second commandment is like unto it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So loving your neighbor as yourself is the second greatest commandment. Also, right here in verse 10, it says, whoever loves a brother or sister is in the light and will have no cause for stumbling. Continue in verse 11. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride in riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world with its desires are passing away. But those who do the will of God live forever. Children, it is the last hour. As you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But by going out, they made it plain that none of them belongs to us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and all of you have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and your word, and you know that no lie comes from the truth. Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Everyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. I write these things to you concerning those who would deceive you. As for you, the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and so you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he is revealed, we may have confidence and not be put to shame before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. Chapter 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, and all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Now, some translations here says, no one who abides in him sins. Other translations say, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. So there's a little bit of difference there. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Everyone who commits sin is a child of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born of God do not sin, because God's seed abides in them. They cannot sin, because they have been born of God. The children of God and the children of the devil are revealed in this way. All who do not do what is right are not from God, nor are those who do not love their brothers or sisters. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. So it's real easy to say that we love, but here it says, not to love in word or speech, but truth and action. That's more practical than just saying you love, if you have acts to show that you do love. So continue in verse 19. And by this we know that we are from the truth, and we will assure our hearts before him, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. So this is one of John's themes throughout his writings, is that we have to obey his commandments. And here in chapter 5, he says, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is born of God conquers the world. And let's read on down here. 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. So that's all I'm going to read from John. So, let us not love in word or speech, but in truth and action. Welcome to comment or correct. God bless all of you.
Thank you, Brother Matthew. There's no corrections, only an admonition to live what God has told us to do. Some people think that 1 John is a greater love chapter than 1 Corinthians 13. I'm one of those people. I think it's great for us to try to live 1 Corinthians 13, but 1 John, that you read, is just as strong, not stronger, than some people. Jesus never went and bound some saying, I love your soul. I love your soul, Darren. I love your soul. He loved people, like the rich young ruler. He loved the rich young ruler. Don't go around, I love your soul, Papa, but I hate your guts, you know, but I love your soul. No, he loved people, and we have to love our enemies. Not have to love our enemies. We want to love our enemies because we were enemies. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, it's really good to be reminded of John chapter. These chapters are really, really thought-provoking. I like to look at things from a progression, like what does one thing lead to the next? How does all that work? And I see, 1 John 2 verse 5 says, but whoever keeps his word in him, verily is the word of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And I see something like keeping and loving his word at times means doing things and not totally understanding why we're doing them. But I think the understanding is quite likely to come, you know, if there's a true heart that loves the word of God, that just keeps it precious and understands it as the way to life, the way to eternal life. It keeps it, and then perfection comes from that, like a better understanding comes from that. I think it makes sense. Scriptures say that, plus I think it could probably be verified by our testimonies, at least by mine. And it's really all one big package, you know. But then another thing that kind of follows or that is intertwined with that is 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. It's another thing that one thing leads to the next, and yet it's all, if you try to just say you love or if you want to say you if you love God, but somehow it shows that you don't really love the brethren, or something like that, then I think in return it'd be something like, well, you don't really love God. I think that's what I'm hearing here. And then I wanted to share, I had some thoughts about chapter 2. I found it interesting. Even earlier this morning, I was reading 1 John chapter 2, where it says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Then what's interesting is that he goes on to describe the Antichrist. And it doesn't seem to be the type of Antichrist that we think of a lot. You know, the guy or the certain big figure claiming himself to be Christ. Oh, how would you say, like, I think I have found myself really wondering about what the Antichrist would be and just how sneaky he would be, maybe in some government system. We have to watch out for him in that way. But here it just says, it describes the Antichrist by saying, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us." I really find it interesting how the apostles, they just had that confidence in themselves, in the thing that they had. The thing that they had going just seemed to be this confident thing that that they were right. And I want that. I want that same kind of confidence without arrogance, without being puffed up. I want whatever that was. It might be harder to really get to that these days, but I think it's still possible to have that kind of like confidence, just that not like everything that we're doing is just right, no one can challenge or, you know, none of that, but more just like that we would be the church. I think that's something that we should strive for, just to know that we are the church. We're not the church in some proud way, some kind of thing that no one can challenge, but in a way that we really do walk in the light, and we really do strive to fully understand and perfect ourselves as we walk together. That is the church. That's the called out ones. And the Antichrist is the one that doesn't want to walk with that, if I understand John right. They had many of them that would, and one way or the other, they just go away. They kind of teach something wrong, teach something bad, teach something against the apostles. 1 Corinthians is one of those examples where, if I understand right, the Corinthians, they were wise in their own ways, like in chapter 3 and 4. And they had this, they kind of despised, somehow, I don't understand it all. Maybe someone knows the history on all those things, but they had in some ways despised the original apostles and perhaps had even put in their own, you know, men that were wise in their own ways. And that's what I hear anyhow when I hear what Paul has to say there in chapter 3 and 4. So that's my thoughts, and hope it's edifying. God bless you.
Yeah, I just appreciate that reading too. There is just really, really a lot there in the epistles of John. When you were reading those verses about just how we know him, if we, the brethren, how can we say that? I'm not sure if you got to those verses or not. Maybe sometimes my mind, you know, on a trail, but, you know, how can we say that we love God who we can't see if we don't love our brother who we do see? And then, of course, that verse 15 in chapter 3, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And I just, it may be made me think back of when I was a little boy, even not even just also little, like I kind of remember probably been as a sixth grade, maybe. So that is 11. The teacher has write our favorite Bible verse down, and I think that's the verse I wrote down. And I think the reason it just stood out much to me because it's just so sobering. So, like, and in my childish mind, like, I had two brothers. Their names were Ivan and Alan, and those were the only brothers I knew, and I got upset at them sometimes. And, you know, with our fights would really sober me up to think, like, man, if I hate my brother, I'm killing him. Yeah, it was just one of those verses that had such an impact on me that, you know, once the teacher asked us for our favorite verse, that's what I wrote. I still want to be affected that, even though I have a better, maybe more biblical concept of what Jesus or John meant here about who our brother is, but I just want that to be real, real sobering, convicting, and challenging to me. Thank you.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and let us sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now burning sun lift golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him, hallelujah. Thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice, oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Thou glowing heart, pure and clear, with music for thy Lord to hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So masterful and bright, that give us of warmth and light. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And know ye men of tender heart, giving others take your part. Oh, sing ye hallelujah. Ye who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in harmonious. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise. Alleluia. 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 On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host, redeem my blood. Lay him there, King in strength divine. I heard a song and strove to join. I heard a song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered so. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, come above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. When love is come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth, but we saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive they know what they do, but we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and melted the sun. We gaze not in the nor saw the end that upper room, nor met beyond the open way. But we with the day.